Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to another amazing episode of the Rants and Gems show.
Yes.
My name is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700. I'm going to say it again for the compliance police. NMLS number 58700, better known as MG, the mortgage guy.
All right. My name is Kiana Watson, license number 317576. I am the broker extraordinaire. I'm located here in Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome to the Rants and Gems show, where we're giving you all the rants and all of the gems.
That is a fact. Now, today we're going to talk about a subject that I hate, and that's taxes, because I hate paying taxes. And this is why I use superstar CPA, Miss Business. How are you, Miss Business?
Hello, hello.
She helps me minimize my taxes. So... Miss Business always tells me, Matt, you got to stop saying you hate to pay taxes. You got to minimize the taxes, right?
Yes, we came up with that about 2 years ago.
Yeah, so Miss Business has been helping me minimize my taxes for the past couple years. She's amazing. And, you know, real estate and taxes go hand in hand. So you can't talk about generational wealth without having a tax plan. So that's what we're going to discuss today is taxes and real estate.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You ready?
I'm ready.
You guys got some wine? You ready to take a sip? You know, it's kind of a ritual.
Cheers to the rants.
My rants and gems.
Yeah, we got the rants and gems. You know, that one's for Kiana. You got to take a little sip. Oh, parental discretion is advised. I got a potty mouth, especially when I'm on a red. So it is what it is. So look, set it off, Kiana. What are we going to talk about today?
So what I really want to talk about is everybody always talks about, I want to make all this money. I want to make this money. I want to make this money, baby. They make it. But when you go away from being a W-2 employee to being a 1099, there's a difference in the way that you got to have a tax strategy. Because, you know, like I said, they wasn't what you're shooting in the gym. They don't deserve all your money.
Mm-hmm.
So what we want to talk about today is, let's just talk about from a perspective of an investor and also from a 1099 perspective, what is the percentage? Like, at what point do you got to give these people 46% of your money?
Ooh, 46%.
That's a lot of
money. That's a lot, Kiana. Yeah.
I just read it. I read it somewhere for certain states.
Look, how we minimize these taxes? We need that game on Rants and Gems,
right,
girl.
So
what's
let's
up?
First start. I don't know if I like that question of when you got to start paying them 46%. Because before you get there, there's some things you need to discuss first. Like, do I really have to give you that 46%, right?
Okay.
So that's important. So just to kind of go back to what Kiana was saying, you pay taxes based on your income bracket. So if you are anywhere over, let's say, $500,000, you are paying the maximum taxes. Which is about 46%, right? However, you have to keep in mind that is federal and state, right? About federal and state combined. So depending on what state you're in, that could fluctuate. Like Matt and I, we're from New York. New York kills you.
Kills you.
Have New York State, New York City, and then you have federal, okay, right? Like here
in
Georgia, you just pretty much have state and then Georgia. So
yeah,
it's not as bad as New York, but you just have to be mindful. Just to kind of go back to what Matt was saying, where he's like, oh, I hate taxes, but I help him minimize on his taxes. It's important to, one, understand tax planning, right? So that is the way that you can save on taxes. One thing to note, to save on taxes, you have to make money. When you make money, you sit down with your CPA and you tax plan. And pretty much what tax planning is you're having the conversation about taxes before the year is over. January through April, that is a great time for W-2 employees. That's when taxes have already been taken out for you throughout the whole entire year. And you're just pretty much filing and pretty much complying with your filing requirements. If you've overpaid, then you get a refund. If you are a business owner, freelancer, real estate broker,
we quiet.
You should, yes, during that time, that's pretty much your time to pay taxes.
No, it's our time to cry.
No, you're crying too.
It's our time to
you're
cry.
Crying on a W-2 also if you get into a bag because you can't control what you're doing. They're just taking your money.
All right, but that's that's very true. You're crying every time you see your paycheck. You're like, oh my
God. I cry every 2 weeks.
Yes, you do.
I really do.
You do cry every 2 weeks.
I hate this shit.
All right, but then you started a business, right?
Several.
And now you did what? You wrote off this trip?
Look, man, we minimize.
See, she tried to.
You writing off all this shit. It's a business to write off. Let's go. The carpet hair, the Yeezys,
everything.
This is wardrobe, baby.
So first, let me finish tax planning, and then we're going to talk about just being a business owner, right, and things that you have to do if you want to save on taxes.
Right.
So with tax planning, if you are a business owner, as I mentioned, freelancer, contractor, you have to have the conversation about taxes before the year is over. So, because the reason is, in order for you to make any changes for the year, you have to do it within that year. January through April, the year has passed, right? So pretty much you file taxes on a retrospective basis, meaning that the year has passed and now January through April, now you're focusing on the taxes from prior year. So in order to get ahead of that, you have to sit down and have that conversation. And so that's important. And during that conversation, that's when we're like, I'm like, yes, so you have this much of a tax liability. If you want to minimize this, your options are investing in real estate, buying some sort of asset, purchasing a vehicle in your business name, hiring your children, like things like that we are able to implement, but I can't do that if we don't have the conversation before the year is over.
That's a fact.
Right? Correct.
So look, let's rewind and let's go to the basics, right?
Okay.
Because Rants and Gems is all about real estate, investing, news, strategy, and education. Shout out to Arthur.
Right? Shout out to Arthur.
EYL Arthur. Shout out to my guy who came up with that, right? So, real estate taxes 101 for a regular home buyer, primary residence. What are the benefits they can expect when they buy real estate as a primary residence?
As a primary residence?
Yes.
Okay. So you have two main things that you can write off, which are your real estate taxes and your mortgage interest.
Okay.
Right, when it's your primary residence. Another great thing when it's your primary residence, when it's time for you to sell, you have a capital gain exclusion. So that capital gain exclusion, if you're single, head of household, you can exclude up to $250,000 of that capital gain, meaning you can sell your property, get up to $250,000 of a capital gain, and you do not have to worry about paying any taxes at all. If you're married, that capital gain exclusion goes up to $500,000. So
those are good.
So I said two, but it's really three.
And they say your primary resident ain't an asset, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say. They say it's not an asset. But yeah, if you buy right, which you always need to do, which I'm sure you guys
talk
to people about.
We've already talked about that.
Yes, always need to buy right and make sure that your property is gaining that equity. If you go to sell it, you know, you do have to hold on to it for 2 years. And if you hold on to it for 2 years, then you are able to, you know, take that capital gains and you don't have to pay taxes on it at all.
So you got
to
hold the property for 2 years.
Yes.
Single, if you sell it, you make $250,000 of profit. You have tax-free money.
Yes.
And any monies above that, you have to pay taxes on that. So $250,000 and $1, you're paying taxes on $1.
$1, yes.
All right? And if you're married, $500,000 tax-free.
Yes.
$500,000 and $1. You pay taxes. Okay.
Yes, I have some people that get married as a tax strategy.
Wow.
That is a gem right
That's
there.
That's a real gem.
If anybody gets to the bag, get a wife or husband.
Go get married.
Go marry somebody.
Capital gains.
Yes.
We're very familiar with what that is, but everybody doesn't understand what capital gains is. What is capital gains and how does that affect the person that is selling their home? Like what does it mean to them? What is the percentage? What does that look like?
Okay, so capital gains, and we're strictly talking about from a house perspective.
From a house perspective, strictly.
So capital, so a capital asset, right? It's any sort of asset that you acquire. So in this instance, we're referring to a home. So because a home is considered an asset and it's considered a capital asset, what happens when you sell that asset and you, let's say if you purchased it for $100,000 and you sell it for $150,000, your capital gain on that asset is going to be $50,000. Now, if it's your primary residence, then you will, you know, as I mentioned before, you won't have to pay any taxes on it. If it's an investment property, right? If it is an investment property, you do have to pay taxes on it. Now, if just all things just saying excluded, and you just had that $50,000 of capital gain income, depending if you're married, you won't have any capital gains at all. If you're single, you're looking at about 15%.
Okay.
Right? So, and it depends. And keep in mind, tax brackets and rates are all dependent upon your filing status. Married filing joint is always going to be more favorable. Single, you're going to be taxed the hardest, right? So.
Okay, so now let's stick with the primary residence. Mm-hmm. You said you had three tax benefits, mm-hmm. capital gains when you sell, mortgage interest deduction, and property taxes, mm-hmm. which is part of the SALT.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's still capped at $10,000?
It is still capped at $10,000. Biden is talking about removing it, but who knows? Yes, that would be good.
My property taxes are ridiculous.
Everybody.
Listen.
Shit, not in
Atlanta.
That's
the one thing you can't control.
Shit.
You can't control the property taxes. You can control so many other pieces of
my taxes damn near $30,000. I need
the
SALT to be over $10,000.
Have a good day.
I need to write all that off.
I told y'all. enjoy that life.
That's that New York shit. Like,
it's New York, but
whatever.
You know, having those taxes, you can't avoid them, but they are good.
But how do we now, all right, your primary residence and now with a right? Mm-hmm. Now you're filing a Schedule E because you have that rental income. What else can we deduct as a primary residence, but I own a multifamily now? Because now the IRS is looking at you as an investor too at the same time, although it's your
Absolutely.
Primary residence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as a multifamily homeowner, primary residence, what extra tax benefits do you get by filing now this Schedule E?
Yes.
So for those of you who kind of missed that, pretty much, I'm just going to break it down a little
break
bit.
Break it down. Girl.
Thank you.
That's
what
yours.
That's what
you're so when you are a real estate investor, you have any sort of investment property to file your taxes, if it's in your name for that investment piece of your property, is filed on tax form Schedule E. That Schedule E is a part of your personal taxes. On that Schedule E, it's pretty much like you're operating a business. You are, you know, you are in business. So all of the income that you are receiving for rent has to be included. All of the expenses, so the utilities, the closing costs, the real estate broker.
Okay.
The taxes, the insurance. You can actually
the points you've been charged.
Yes, the points you've been charged. So pretty much anything that you've put into this property to operate it, you are allowed to write off. Okay, so that's major because a lot of people, when I first work with them, they're like, oh my God, I had this property for all this time and I didn't know I could write those things off. I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
So they were losing money.
Absolutely.
So you're helping them save money. But let me ask, what if they're just house hacking? Like, what if they don't have multifamily? Because you guys know every state doesn't have a lot of multifamily.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm.
So what if they get a home and they're renting out the basement? Can they still use that same strategy?
If the basement is legal. Yes.
Okay.
So, that's good because in New York,
the basement is legal.
In New York,
yes.
None of the basements are legal, yes. And they rented out everything in New York.
Yeah. So people call me all the time. They're like, I have a basement, and I'm like, well, are you supposed to have that basement? You probably shouldn't be.
But if they have, like in New York, we call them mother daughters, right? So if you have a single family with an accessory unit or ADU. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's legal.
Yes.
So if you have an accessory unit, you can file a Schedule E and claim that rental.
Absolutely.
Right? So you can house hack a one family, kind of essentially turn it a one family into a multifamily.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can.
And get the tax benefits.
It. Yeah,
and it's a tax benefit to it.
Absolutely.
And they can write off everything they use to buy the house plus the rents.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love it. That's good to know.
So let's talk about one of my favorite words in the dictionary, depreciation.
Let's
Please
talk
break
about
down
it.
Depreciation. I love depreciation.
I love depreciation too.
Yes, Lord.
It's like,
please.
It helps you get like a magician.
You are a magician. FYI. But
she's just making things happen for you.
Yes.
Happen for you based on depreciation.
Please explain to the people, what is depreciation and how does depreciation work?
Okay, so depreciation is pretty much you are writing off your asset over its useful life. So every asset has a different useful life. So we are on Rants and Gems and we're talking about homes and real estate. Mm-hmm. So a real estate property can be depreciated over 27 and a half years. So what that means is whatever you purchase your property at, you divide that by 27 and a half years. And that is an additional expense that you are able to write off on your taxes every single year. Okay, so it's pretty much, it's kind of like an expense that you don't have. It helps you out a lot.
Can you do that for single families or only multifamilies?
You can do it for single family if it's an investment property.
Only an investment property.
You are not allowed to depreciate your primary residence.
Even if it's a multifamily primary?
If it's a multifamily primary, you can a portion of it. So let's say if it's a two family, you can depreciate half of it.
Okay.
Oh, that's good to know.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And if it's a four family, then a fourth of it.
Yeah, it's a fourth of it.
I love that. Did y'all get that?
It's amazing. Even, you know, if you purchase any sort of equipment, you know, because, yes, you have your home, but sometimes you may need generators. You may need some sort of equipment. All those things that you're putting into your property, even, you know,
solar panels.
Solar panels, they aren't depreciated, but you do get a tax credit for them.
Okay.
Good to know.
Yes. Energy efficient.
Yes.
Tax credits for as well. Now, and with energy efficiency products like fridges, windows,
all that stuff,
right?
So
Solar panels, all that stuff is
any
tax
upgrades
write-offs.
You do to an investment property, you can actually use that to write off.
Yes.
All right.
Refrigerators, stoves, floors, contractors. Make sure you are issuing 1099s to contractors.
Well,
how would they do that?
Hold on. Let's talk about
break that.
Down.
Okay.
Let's talk about the 1099 to contractors because, you know. Some of us find our contractors online. Some of us, I find our contractors walking down the street.
Yeah.
So it can happen.
Yes.
So how is it that they can be protected for the work that they've put in and issue 1099s to people so that way they can get those type of write-offs?
On day one, before they start working.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You have to make them complete a W-9. It has to be before they start working. Because if they get their money, there's no way you're calling them in January of the following year to say, hey, I need a W-9 so I can tell the IRS I gave you that $40,000. They're going to go ghost on you. I have 90% of my clients, their contractors go ghost. They're like, no, you're not going to do that. And so, you know, you as a business owner, again, this is, you're stepping into a space where you have to make sure that your processes are in order so that you can take the deductions that you need to take and that you are doing what you need to do to help minimize your tax liability and to protect yourself, right? So that's super important. Make sure you issue, I mean, you make them sign that W-9 you can issue those 1099s.
Where can they get a W-9?
That's what I was going to say. What software do you recommend? Because, it's, you know, we have all these businesses, all these pieces of software coming at us at 100 ways. Now, some of us really are running businesses. Some of us like, listen, I flipped a house. I don't need all that major software. What would you recommend the easiest way for a person that is just like, look, I just need to get some 1099 employees real quick. Other than that, I don't need it.
Okay. So In terms of the W-9, you can get that from the IRS website. You literally can just Google online and say W-9 form, and you can download the form, print it out, and then issue it to the contractor. Make sure that you hold on to it. In terms of actually processing the 1099s, I can do that for you.
Okay.
Well, there we are.
There you go. There you have
right?
it.
And it's like a very inexpensive service, but so necessary, right? So necessary.
Yes.
So just make sure that you guys are issuing those 1099s. I have people, they're like, man, I paid $75,000 to this contractor. And it's like, man, well, you can't write that off because you didn't issue that 1099.
So even if they did the W-9, right? Mm-hmm. What if they just paid cash? You still can document it and write it off.
Absolutely.
Right?
Document it.
Okay.
Yes. You just have to document it. So make sure you're getting invoices. Make sure that, if you want to use cash, use cash. But document trail when it comes to the IRS is the best, right? So if you have, a business bank account, which you should have if you are operating it out of a business, or if it's out of your primary, just make sure that the money is coming out. If you have to use cash, just make sure that you're getting, an invoice and then also a paid receipt, right?
What you said there just stood out to me because that just led us right into our next question.
Let's go.
So let's talk about it. Everybody wants to buy an investment property in the name of their business in the LLC.
Yes.
Now, because I just like to be honest. But then we also want to do certain type of financing that may not support that. So what is the best way that a person can purchase their investment property in the name of their business? And tell us what the benefits are.
Okay. So you're going to kind of help me out with this one too, right?
Help
on
you
the lending side?
With the lending side.
Okay.
Because he knows.
But let's talk about the other side.
Okay.
Formation.
Business formation
for real estate. What's the best way? LLC or S Corp?
It depends on the strategy and how you're investing. Mm-hmm. If you are flipping, an S Corp. If you are holding, an LLC.
Why S Corp for flipping?
Yeah, why?
So S Corp for flipping because it's more transactional. So if you're holding your property, you're able to use our favorite thing, depreciation.
Yes.
If you're flipping, you don't have depreciation. You literally are, it's more transactional.
It's a job.
It's like selling a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You're bringing the money in, you're flipping it and you're getting the money out, right? And then you have that capital gains, hopefully. Right? Because some people have capital losses that a lot of people don't talk about.
No. You're going to have to talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that.
Yes, because not everybody is gaining, in real
flips,
estate.
Flop.
Yeah, flips, flop. They take too long. Contractors disappear. They don't do the work they say they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I hear everything. I get all the stories. Right? So, LLC. Another thing that I have a lot of people call me about is kind of creating an umbrella structure.
Talk
Everybody
about
that. Wants
Explain
an
that.
Umbrella structure.
What is an umbrella structure?
I want an umbrella structure.
You have enough businesses to have an umbrella structure.
So let's talk about it because we want to make sure people understand, is it a big benefit? I think some of us just say, I want to get a business in my business name. I'm going to buy this house and flip it in my business name because it sounds bossy.
Mm-hmm.
But do you necessarily need to do that?
No.
Does it make sense if you're just flipping a house or two or three a year? Like maybe if you flip in four or five houses a month, might be a different story for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I'm flipping two houses in a year. Do I necessarily need to do that? And is there any benefit to it at all?
So it really depends on the amount. So it's
Got
not
it.
Really the volume. It really depends on the amount. I would say if you're flipping, you need to put it inside of a business. And the reason, I would say an S Corp. And the reason why I would say put it inside of a business is one, because I mentioned it's more transactional. So you want to make sure that you are kind of positioning yourself to save on taxes in any way that you can. I do believe that if they can purchase a home in a business, I think that they should.
All right.
And I'm going to say that it does not breed a tax benefit. LLC is not a tax benefit.
Can we toast to that? Because I've been saying that, I swear.
I tell people this all the time.
I say it all the time, but you know, we just want to sound bossy.
Yes.
Just get it, for what?
LLC does not breed any additional tax write-offs.
Why?
It's not a tax structure.
Okay.
It's not a tax structure. So, but it's not a tax entity. If corporations breeds tax benefits, S Corps breeds tax benefits. However, if they want to do an LLC, it's good to at least have a business. And the reason why I say have a business is because, one, right? Let's just kind of use 2020 as an example. I had a lot of people that want loans and they want certain things. And I do feel that when you have...
What are these certain things certain you're referencing? Things? Right? Because you kind of said that with a look.
Like, what look at me. I'm looking like this. I want those certain things. So I know what you're saying.
So the hell do I.
So, but tell us what those certain things are. Because they don't know.
Okay,
they don't know.
Let me not be vague.
Yeah, so tell us the shit, y'all. We need to know the information, Ms.
Business. They want certain tax write-offs. And what I mean by that is, I believe that when you're operating as a business, it starts to force you to operate how you're supposed to.
Agreed.
And I think that you start focusing on, you know, things. You have very clear understanding of, okay, if I have an investment property and this is my income, it's coming into my business account. These are my expenses. This is what's actually going on. But when you start mixing your business and your personal, and it just becomes all one big thing, people don't understand or know if they're coming or going.
True.
A lot of times. So does it breed a tax benefit? No, it doesn't. You can buy investment property under your name or under an LLC that you own. You're going to get the same exact write-offs. However, how you...
That must be y'all to say.
I just didn't see a point that she tries to drive home.
Because, you know, I got people that just create LLCs because they're like, I just want to do this. But it's like, you're flipping one or two houses in a year. It's not necessary. I get why, but... It does. I just like to do things that are necessary. Y'all know I'm the meat and potatoes person, so I'm sorry. If it's not necessary, I'm not doing it.
I understand. I have some people that will contact me during tax time, and this is where they stop doing that. When I'm like, okay, well, for this business, it costs you this, and for that, yeah. But I didn't do anything in that business but this. Yeah, but you want me to include it on your taxes? Oh, okay, that's going to cost you an additional. And so people have to understand that these businesses come with administrative responsibilities.
Expenses.
And it comes with expenses. So I have some clients that own 10 LLCs, but they're like, yeah, I was watching EYL and...
Shout out to EYL. We're teaching the people too much over here.
They're like, oh my God, we're going to start a vending machine. They're going to do real estate in this one. Then we're going to do... It's so
why not
crazy,
though? Fuck
right?
it.
Because you guys put it all out, and then I get the clients after the fact, and they're like, yeah, I have, like, I'm starting a vending machine, I'm doing real estate, I'm gonna start a fitness company, I'm gonna start a clothing company, then I want my kids to start, you know, a dance company, and I'm like, but hold on, which one are you gonna do first? Right? So I do think that it is important for people to understand that these businesses come with administrative responsibilities, and you do need to understand if they are necessary. And another point is like kind of protecting yourself against liability.
Right.
When you are in real estate, it's super risky. So if you are flipping, you know, you have contractors, you have people in and out of your property all the time. So that is a reason to, you know, also to get that LLC to kind of separate it out. Like, you know, so you're not personally liable, but from a tax perspective,
no,
it doesn't do
so
anything.
So from a lending perspective, please, guys, stop hitting me up talking about FHA and LLCs. Please.
They don't mix.
It don't mix. I was going to say a Biggie line, but, you know, that's probably not appropriate.
It's not appropriate.
For rents and gyms. But it doesn't matter. You cannot put a FHA loan, a conventional loan, any loan that you're doing as a primary residence cannot be in your LLC.
No.
Right?
Why?
Because the government says that LLC is a business and you're buying a house as a primary residence and your primary residence is not a business. So the two
That's
don't
what I
mix.
I tell everybody when they call me.
They I'm don't like, mix.
Why should I
tell them? And I'm on the phone like, all right, yeah, no.
Channel your inner MG.
I do that all the time.
Yes.
I do it all
because
the time.
It's like, please stop it. It's not going to happen. And don't close on a primary residence and then transfer to your LLC because you're going to trigger.
We'll talk about that.
You're going to trigger what's called the due on sales clause. The due on sales clause is in that stack of paperwork that you probably didn't even read.
Right?
You're just signing your life away and you're happy. You're doing your boomerang at the closing.
Oh, and I gave you some champagne.
And Kiana came with her reels and some champagne, Versace robes, all types of shit. But you so distracted, you got to read it with your mind. And then 3 days later, Ms. Business opened up a LLC. I'm going to transfer the mansion into this and we're going to Airbnb it out. But you just committed mortgage fraud, number one, right? Number one. And number two, you want to trigger the due on sales clause where the lender can say you transfer ownership without my permission in writing. Now your loan is due. Now it's a balloon. Pay me my $500,000 in 30 days or I'm going to foreclose on you.
question, because I get this question all the time.
Did y'all hear that? I want to make sure that you understand that. Let's make sure that we understand that when you sign this paperwork, mortgage fraud is real. People go to jail every single day. So you have to be careful, even being careful, you know, since he mentioned it, this whole, oh, I'm just going to buy a house as an FHA loan, put 3.5% down. I'm not going to really live there, but I'm not going to tell anybody. That's mortgage fraud.
That is a
fact. We do not support that.
I do. Look, let's be clear about this shit right now. All right?
We do not
this
support
that. This is Matthew Garland speaking, NMLS number 587-000, right? The guidelines state you got to live in that property for 1 year and you need to move in within 60 days after closing. And if you do any of the above, I don't know nothing. Don't tell me. Don't tell Kiana. Don't tell me.
Because I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it because I tell you on this show, I tell you on every video that the FHA police, the conventional police, the compliance police are
they
out
are
there.
Real.
They are real. Why do you think I say my license number every time I do a video?
317-576.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to put it out there.
Yes.
So many times.
I have a question because I get this question all the time.
Okay.
After, how long after they have closed on the FHA can they transfer the property into an LLC?
Never.
Never.
Never?
Never.
It's an FHA loan.
Can they contact the lender and
you can do what closed mouth don't get fed, but you're going to get declined and they're going to tell you kick rocks and then.
Oh, because I get that question all the time. I'm like, you need to go contact the lender.
But again, like you said, what is the real benefit of you doing that?
None.
You're only hurting yourself.
It's no
you probably got a below market interest rate right now because the interest rate market over the last 2 years have been phenomenal. You're in your 2% range. You're risking your 2.5% to get a balloon payment just to put it in the business name for what? That gives you no tax.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's benefits per our conversation here today. Now, from a protection standpoint, yes, it helps you. But if you're not renting in, it ain't a 10 family. You know what I'm saying? You don't have 10 tenants in one building.
Right.
So you don't really need that protection, in my opinion. So I try to tell my everyday homebuyers, stop listening to these YouTube videos that tell you this foolishness. Stop listening to your neighbor who said they did it, because the streets are always watching.
And they're going to go to whole jail.
And this is no stack. They will go to a whole jail, and there's no statute of limitation on this stuff.
So let's be clear about it. Let's just say one thing. If you're buying an investment property for investment purposes, what is the minimum down payment? MG?
For a single family, 15%. For 2 to 4 family, 25% if you're going conventional. Now, there are alternative ways around the down payment. So I think we spoke about this on one of our episodes. If you go hard money. Right. If you understand hard money and know how to move and shake, if you have experience, you can get 10% down on a multifamily with a hard money loan. But you got that's for live men, not for freshmen.
Right? I agree.
That's not for freshmen. Don't even play yourself trying to go that route because you don't have that experience.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have the experience, you can do 10% on a hard money loan on a multifamily property, and it's an investment, and it's in your LLC. Your LLC is borrowing the money. But those are the ways that you can do it. But once you get if you don't have the experience, probably 20%, depending on the hard money.
Right. And most of them say that. Most of them are needing 20% down. And
you need the money.
I'm proud of you guys. Let me just say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of everybody, especially a lot of people I speak to. They bought their first house and they learn so much. And I'm like, Kiana, I want to get an income producing property. I'm happy for you, but I can't help you get that income producing property with 3.5% down. Okay. That is a second property.
Only if it's your primary residence.
They're not moving out of their primary residence. Okay. You're living in your primary residence. You love where I put you. Now you want to get that second house with that same 5%, 3.5%, 3% down. It can't happen. And I want to set the record straight because a lot of us, you know, inadvertently, you can't tell these people I didn't know. They expect you to know.
Yeah,
exactly. So if you don't know, you don't know.
In a court of law.
You're just going to go to jail. So I'm telling you, it's 10%. It's not going to be 5% down, and it's okay. Put the money into the property because mentally, when you start looking at investments, understand that I'm not giving my money away. I'm investing my money.
Yes.
So I put 20% down, but it's an investment.
Yes.
Because my agent did what? Like we talked about in the other episode, they ran the numbers.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, numbers are important.
Numbers
don't ignore them.
So
I love numbers.
I love numbers too. And that was a great segue since we're talking about investment, right? We got Joe Biden and the crew.
Can we say, okay.
I need more. I think I need more than this damn drink for this conversation right now. Joe Biden and the crew.
Oh, my God.
President Joe Biden. Let me be respectful.
Yeah, President Joe Biden.
President Joe Biden and the crew.
But, and you know, he's our president.
They got a lot going on.
It's a lot happening.
They got plans out the wazoo, right?
I don't like them.
Okay, let's get into
this,
right?
Let's talk about these plans and how they're going to affect home ownership. How they're going to affect investors. Like, let's talk about it so we can be informed and tell us where to go vote against it, too.
So let's talk about Joe.
We need somebody political to tell you how to vote against it. I don't know that.
But, yo, let's talk about Joe Biden's tax proposal for capital gains.
Okay.
What is he doing? What the hell is going on? Because we've spoken about capital gains earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is he trying to do to the capital gains tax?
All right, there's a few things.
Talk to us, Ms. Business. We need to hear this.
Because I feel like when you raise taxes, you strip us from our wealth. That's what you're doing, right? You're taking our money. Okay, capital gains. So basically, the highest capital gains right now is about 23%. He's trying to raise that to like 46%.
Jeez.
I told y'all I read it.
So he's trying to raise us to basically doubling up.
He's basically doubling up, yeah.
For who? Who's gonna have to pay this capital gains tax? What's the breakdown of this?
Well, let's again, right? Capital gains, and when we're talking about this, we're talking about real estate, we're talking about stocks, we're talking about, you know, all these things that we all learn on EYL, right? These vast majority of industries.
Shout out to EYL.
So important to understand that once you start making more money, which we all want to do, that's why we're all here, that's why we're tuning into all this stuff. When you start making money, right now they're saying, okay, this is only if it's above $400,000. Those are the people that it's going to affect. However, we're going to talk about capital gains from two perspectives. We'll talk about it. And this is how it's all a trick in my mind. Because if you start saying that you're only going to affect the top percent, what do you think the top percent of people are going to do? You think they're going to take that loss? You think they're going to start raising rents? Or they're going to start, you know, they're going to start recooping in different ways.
They're going to push it somewhere else.
You're saying that he wants to raise capital gains on people that are making the income of $400,000
or more.
And the last time I read, to be part of 1% of the world, the 1% earners, those people are making $500,000 or more per year.
Yes.
All right. I want to clarify that.
Yes. So pretty much $400,000 or more in capital gains. And keep in mind, income tax and capital gains are two different things. Right. So you did a flip. You held the house. You know, you have this income now. You sold it. You flipped it for $400,000. Well, let's say $500,000. It's an investment property. You're looking at 46% now. Right.
Wow.
Half of it will go for tax.
Do your math. Do your math.
About half of that is going to go to taxes. Right. And so that's crazy.
That sucks.
Wait a minute. So I made $500,000.
About 240.
I made $500,000, and the Biden administration and them,
and the
president,
oh, Biden,
the president,
they were like $240,000 of the money that I worked for.
Yes.
Because I made a lick.
Yeah.
Ooh,
because you came off.
Because I did my research and did my due diligence and I brought right.
So what can we do?
What can we do? Well, first of all, this is not official yet.
This is not official. So I can't necessarily tell you what you can do, because I don't know what else is coming out with this, right? Okay. But there's some other things that they're also talking about kind of changing as it comes to capital gains. Uh-huh. So another great thing about capital gains is that when you die, if you have any stocks, any assets, anything like that, you're able to give it to your children tax-free.
It
can just, it, you can, inher- your children can inherit it. Biden's like, no, we taxing it at death.
What?
What? The same amount?
Same amount, yeah.
46%.
Wait, hold on,
It's no like death capital gains rate.
Wait, hold on.
It's just capital gains rate.
Hold on. Hold the fucking phone.
Now it's being taxed.
Hold on.
No, you said it too quick.
You're trying to say, we busting our butts right now. Mm-hmm. We grinding. We building generational wealth. We listening to EYL. We getting all these gems.
First of all, you're listening to the Rants and Gems.
Yes,
that's
you're
a fact.
You're listening to the Rants and Gems.
You're a part of the EYL network, right?
Yes, right.
And you're buying this real estate. You're flipping your properties. And you inherit your, you passing it down to your people, your children.
Usually, if you pass away,
and now
it can
they
just
don't
get passed.
But right now, how's it stand? They don't get taxed. They don't have to pay
they
no tax
don't.
On it. But if this passes, now they're going to get taxed.
Yes.
That's bullshit.
Yes. And there's one thing. You ready to move into 1031?
Oh,
wait a minute.
Okay, but hold on. That's not the capital gain.
You're giving me anxiety right now. I know, need a fan or something.
Like,
come on. Like, chill.
So outside of the capital gains, like, it's a proposal in place.
It is a proposal in place. Of course, Congress has to approve it. I hope that all of this isn't passed, because there's way too many tax increases, especially as it relates to real estate. Like, I feel like real estate from the beginning of time has just been one of those investment vehicles where, it's very easy for you to create that wealth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're able to defer your taxes. There's so many incentives. And yeah, it just seems like they're trying to get rid of all of it, which I think in turn is going to really, really hurt the real estate market, because now there's no incentive for me to, like, hold on to this property until it gets to a certain amount. Like, now, it's just like, it's just a lie. Just to me, it's like, there's rents that's going to be raised.
Of course.
You know, before there was like an incentive. I don't know. Can I go into 1031 exchange, please?
Go ahead.
I want to make sure that you just don't step into 1031 exchange.
Okay. What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Everybody doesn't understand what 1031 exchange is.
Let's break this down.
So we got to break it down to the beginning, what it is, how it affects you, and what the current law is and what the proposed law is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Break it down.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
The floor is mine. Okay.
This is your floor.
I've been waiting for this
one. We're just
going to
drink our water and wine.
I'm going to take my wine while you do all of this.
Let me switch. Okay.
Audience, y'all need to take a sip too.
What she gets going. Yeah, audience, right. You guys.
This is what we're doing on Rants and Gems. We do what the fuck we want.
Let's do what you want.
Let's go.
Let's go. Take your sip. Get ready for the 1031 exchange rules.
1031 exchange is an amazing tax law, which is tax code law 1031. in the 1031 exchange, what it allows you to do is it allows you to defer taxes relating to assets, right? So real estate, paintings, not stocks, right? So if you have real estate and you want to defer your taxes, you just have to find a like-kind property within a specific amount of time, which I'll get into, but I just want to kind of get out what 1031 exchanges, and then we'll talk about the process. So you do have to invest in a like-kind property within a certain amount of time, and you can defer your taxes. So what that means is if you purchase a property for $500,000, you sell the property for $1 million, and this is your investment property, you can take, you know, the $1 million less like your closing costs and all of those things, and you can invest it in a property of equal or greater value. Basically, greater value. It can't be like $1 million or $1 million. But it has to be a greater value. $1 million and $1 is okay, right? So that's what's important. It's amazing. It's genius. And it helps so many real estate investors invest. And I'm sure you get a lot of clients because they're like, I have this property. I need to sell it in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And it's a time period.
It's time sensitive. And you got to hurry up and spend the money. Like, they got to hurry up and buy something else.
What's
like,
the time frame?
Time frame. So you have 45 days to identify a property and 180 days to close on a property. Okay, so it's not as simple as, okay, I have this money, it goes to my account. Another thing to note, you do have to get an intermediary. Mm-hmm. And that intermediary has to hold your money. So the money cannot go into your bank account. I get so many clients that'll call me and say, oh, I just want to kind of pay a little bit of debt off, and then I want to do the 1031 exchange. You cannot do that. You have to, all the money that comes from that sale, you have to give it to an intermediary. They hold the funds. And then when it's time for you to purchase the property, your next property that you are going to 1031, then they go ahead and they pay for the property using those funds from your previous property.
Now, let me ask a question.
Yes.
Because every person isn't aware of 1031 exchange. So who would the average person, I'm like, I need to learn more about this. Do they consult with their agent? Do they consult with their CPA? Do they consult with their attorney? Who would be the person that's going to really best put them in the right direction?
All of my clients, it's a collective effort.
Okay.
They need their broker.
Yes.
Because their broker has, and you have to get a broker that understands that this is very time sensitive. Because mm-hmm. I had a client really have to pay the capital gains because they were working with a broker that just was dragging their feet on it because they didn't understand 1031. So regardless of what you're doing, make sure that you're consulting with people and working with people that understand exactly what you're doing at that point. So your broker is very important and your CPA is very important. I need to understand what you're doing. I honestly, in terms of the transaction, I don't necessarily come in, but a lot of my clients, we do need to speak about it because I need to make sure that they understand exactly what it means from a tax perspective. And having that person that, you know, you can reach out to is very important because, you know, not everything is one for one. You may have a little bit of, you know, additional income where additional gains that may then become taxable. So you may need to find a property of greater value.
Yeah.
So you have to allow me to run those numbers to let you know, what that even means.
How do we find the company that we have to put the funds
exactly
in?
Who's the intermediary?
Who's the intermediary? How do we find them?
I don't know. You should tell them.
I mean, you want me to tell them? I mean, Google's your best friend.
Well, I don't know. So I know most of the time it's escrow companies. Mm-hmm. So there are escrow companies that most clients will work with so that they can hold their funds.
So okay. We're talking more or less closing attorneys. In our state, we have closing attorneys. In other states, you guys have you just only work with title companies. So yeah. I think what you want to do is consult with your agent and also consult with your title company and or closing attorney, depending on your state, to find out how they can assist you in holding these funds in escrow until you can find out where you can take this money from here to here, not a little bit here and there. It goes straight to them into a property, not from them and you take $5,000 because you want to go pay off some credit card debt. No. The entire amount, if you made $100,000, $100,000 from that purchase, from that sale, goes directly into another
purchase.
You don't
touch the money.
You can't touch the money.
Well, that's why it's important for team building.
That's what I was going to say. Do you guys see how that just came together?
Yeah, having the right team.
Kiana, just, so the answer to your question is you. You are the person. You are the person that they look, need to contact.
When my people come with me, 1031 exchanges, I say, look, you need to have a lawyer who's, like, they do this for a living.
Yes.
Right? They're not just sitting here, this is their first time doing a 1031, because you don't want nothing to get messed up. You don't want to pay your cap gains. You need a realtor who knows what they're doing, because from a lending perspective, we don't care. We just need to see the escrow letters, the documentation, the paper trail, seeing the money
come. I just
come.
Need the tax form at the end of the year.
For me, I just need to see the paper trail. You sold this property. Here's the settlement statement. It went into this escrow account. This is the name of the company. We have proof that they have the money. We can source it that way. We're good. But you need CPA, lawyer. They need in a title company.
It's the team.
It's all the team. They need to know what's going on.
When you guys are investing in property, I'm so shocked to see people like you're investing and you don't even have a CPA. Like, you can't use these online apps once you get to a certain point. When you're trying to do certain things, you
can
need
to tell them that one more time?
I mean that with my, and I'm saying that from experience. I'm not judging you because I've been there. I was like, please, I'm not paying them that. I can do this myself. Look at this app. Yeah. And so I had to pay all that money because you start business and you start, especially if you're a first time business owner. Like, I come from W-2. I was property manager. I was like, oh, you know, make a little bit of money. My goal is to sell 12 houses a year. That's one house a month. So I was like, that's fine. Then when I, you know, quadrupled that, I was like, I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready. And what I recognize now, you need a bookkeeper, you need a CPA, you need an attorney. If you're going to be doing real estate on any level, you want to flip. I don't care if it's one house. If you want to flip one house, you're going to make an extra $50,000. You're going to make your salary in one house. You need to have a team. Because without it, you're going to find yourself in a lot of tax troubles, and the IRS doesn't care that you did not know. They expect you to know. That's why you have these professionals.
Absolutely. That's a fact. That is a fact. So look, we got
now first. We talked about 1031 exchange and the good stuff that's going on now.
Oh,
but we didn't get a chance to tell them what's coming.
I was about to go to something else.
No,
It was just so good. I was like, I forgot about the negative.
46% has been on my mind.
Please, talk to us. So what is President Joe Biden and them trying to do with 1031 exchange?
Okay.
Because we love everything you just said.
1031 is amazing. They're trying to, so what they're trying to do is impose capital gains on any sale of $500,000 or more. So you cannot just take your, typically now, if you are going to do a 1031 exchange, and, you know, no matter the amount, it doesn't matter if you're
going to, it could be $20 million.
As long as you find a property of greater value, you can then, you can defer your taxes. Now what they're saying is,
if you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
If it's less than 500,000, then you can still do typical 1031 exchange. But if it's more than 500,000, you can no longer do a 1031 exchange.
Damn.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what can they do?
They're going to have to pay the capital gains tax back to this 46%.
Damn. So wait a minute. Are you going to pay? And I know this is not official yet, so I'm not sure if you can answer this.
The proposed bill states
basically if you, up to $500,000 can go into the exchange tax-free.
Deferred taxes.
Yes. Excuse me. Let me
You know I'm very particular on my words. Yes.
I like the word.
I know. You know, like tax-free.
But you got but you defer your taxes up to $500,000.
Yes.
But $500,000 and $1, you need to pay your 46%.
Yes. On the $1?
On that $1.
Or the $501?
The $1.
The
$1.
Okay.
Cool.
That sucks.
So you can keep the $500,000, but then anything above that, they want 46% of your profits.
I don't like this.
Well, anything above. So in that case, it would be like the $1, right? So you.
But what if it was $800,000? They want 46% of $300,000.
Well, no, because your capital gains depends on one, your filing status, as well as your income bracket.
Okay.
So let's just say if you're married, you can. Your capital gains may be like 25%, right? It may be about 25%, but if you're single, you're definitely at that 46%.
Damn, right, again, so gotta go marry somebody.
Gotta go get married for that tax strategy.
Marriage needs to be a part of your real estate strategy, huh?
Yes.
All right, exactly. I don't like anything you just said about these.
I don't like it either. Let me tell you, when Trump came in and the laws changed with the whole salt,
I didn't like that either.
A lot of people didn't like
that.
I felt like I was having a therapy session.
Yeah.
Do you know the therapy sessions I'm gonna have to have?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the amount, I don't know. I'm just hoping that
you're hoping that it's not passed.
I hope that it's not passed.
Well, let's hope on the moon and stars that this doesn't happen, because
I
the way you're telling me right now.
It almost
it
discouraged people from making money almost at some point.
Which sucks. Why?
Which because it's like this?
It's the Democrats.
But we still have to do what we can
what
do.
What the hell?
The government is gonna always do what they came to do. We still have to protect ourselves. We still have to do what you came to do, which is build generational wealth by any means necessary,
That is a fact.
But
I think we got our first.
I think it's time to open up the floor.
Yeah.
Let's ask us some questions.
We got our first live Q&A question here at Rants and Gems.
Hello.
Ms. Business, you're the first for a lot.
I'm the first for a lot, right?
You are the first for a lot.
We appreciate
it. I like that.
I'm going to talk about that after this
segment. Yeah, let's talk about that after this segment.
Yeah,
I'm like good juju.
You are good juju. All right, so we got a question in the audience. Talk to us, brother. Who are you? Where you from?
Peace. My name is Arthur Andrews, originally from Connecticut. I live in Florida now.
He's the guy who invented the rinse, just so you know. All right? Shout out to my guy, Arthur.
It's all love, brother. Question I had, we're talking about depreciation, how much we love it. And question I had is if you could explain the differences between a capital asset and the expenses.
Ooh,
in the sense that certain things that you're going to buy, they're going to be a capital asset that you can write that depreciation off, where you have the expenses, which you're writing off against the income and the differences between the two.
Absolutely. So I'm glad you said that. And that usually comes up more so, well, definitely when it's time to file taxes. But if you're doing your bookkeeping, then that's something that you're having a conversation about consistently. So pretty much you have capital assets and then you have capital expenses. And so what that means when you have an investment property is that certain expenses that you put into a home is going to be considered a capital asset. It's going to be added to the value of your home. So whenever I say capital assets, that just means that it's being added to the value of your home. So a lot of people like to get really bad homes and fix them up. Right. So if you are doing something like a roof, that's going to add value to your home. So therefore, you're able to add that to the value of your property. So I like to give numbers because that helps it all make sense. So if you purchase a property for $100,000, you spent $50,000 on a roof, you have two options, right? I'm not saying both are right, but you have two options. One is to add it to the value of your property, have it be a capital asset, or it will be an expense, meaning that you write it off 100% in that year. What happens is, because it's a roof and it adds value to your property, it's considered a capital asset, right? Something like contractor, let's say if you're paying a contractor, let's say come in and sweep the floors, like they come in to clean up the house, it's all done. That's an expense, right? You write that off 100% in the year that it incurred. It didn't add any value to your home. So that's pretty much how that works. And now how that ties into depreciation is because now that capital asset has added value to your home. So now when you depreciate it, now instead of your home being $100,000, it's $150,000, which you will write off and divide by that 27 and a half years. Okay?
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So let's say I have my property, I put an ADU on it, right? So it's official legal ADU. If I furnish it, I'm gonna do Airbnb. If I furnish it, are the furnishings, are those expenses? Do I write those as expenses?
Those are expenses.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
I'll get to that. So let's say I put a Basquiat in there. Is it still an expense or is it now a capital
asset? Where did you purchase that? Well, it is an asset. It is an asset, but where did you purchase it under? Is it under your business? Who owns it?
I furnish my house with this Basquiat painting. I mean, a Basquiat painting, you know, how many millions is it worth? Is that an expense or is that a capital asset?
And that depends, right? So because you decided to put a Basquiat on your wall, that doesn't necessarily make it an expense that you can write off. However, if you purchase that painting in your business name, that then makes it a business expense. Ooh. And then you can depreciate the full value of that painting in that year because it is considered an asset. Okay.
I gotta buy some damn art.
Now let's cheers to that.
Because I gotta go buy some damn art.
This is about her business.
That was a gem right there. I didn't even know you can do that with art.
Yeah, you can buy art in your business name. Anything that your business owns, you have to think about. Anything that your business owns. And that's why I'm happy that you asked that, because a lot of people will come and say, all right, I have a business, but I pay all my contractors on my personal account. I said, well, your contractors work for you. They don't work for your business. Mm. And so you have to be very specific and very clear on where these transactions are coming out of. Because let's be clear, when the IRS audits you, they don't want to just see bank statements. They want to see the whole document trail. They want to see your bank statements, i.e. coming out of your business bank account. They want to see the receipt, right? They want to see everything. They don't want to just see one or the other. So that's very important.
Man, right? I like that.
So I have a good, that's a good one. So basically, if you could recommend to people, okay, I have a business. Mm-hmm. How many bank accounts? Everybody got a personal account. We know that. Personal banking and savings. So if you're running a business, how many accounts should they have?
Okay, so I know a lot of people have their own theories on how it needs to be laid out.
I want to hear
yours. I really feel that you need your operating account. You need a payroll account and a savings account. I don't think, and it depends. Everybody's different. I have one client, they're like, no, I need a tax account too because I got to put this money over here because if not, I'm going to spend it. And that's fair, smart. Right? So it just depends. And it depends on what type of taxes. Like my clients that pay sales tax, I always recommend for them to get another account and transfer it over because sales tax is tricky. It's one of those things where you're collecting this money and you're like, well, yeah, this is my money. But then at the end of the month, you have to hand it over to the state. And so, you know, so that you don't get it mixed and commingled.
So can we add to that? So sales tax would be if I was selling like clothing, if I was selling hair or, anything, pipes for a home. Yeah. You start any type of business, that's a sales tax. And you're going to have to pay sales taxes every month.
It depends on the state.
Okay.
So like some states is monthly, some states are quarterly. So like let's give like North Carolina is monthly off the bat. South Carolina monthly.
Wow.
New York, it's a couple different stipulations. If you're not making any money, it's annually. If you're making some money and you owe them less than $3,000, they allow you to do it quarterly. Anything above that, you have to do it monthly.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
So it depends.
Wow.
See, you see how she knew almost every state?
Yeah.
All right. So we have another question coming up. We are excited about this.
Let's go.
Crowd participation.
It's in Realty Co.
I love it.
I do have two questions. As my business has kind of grown over the past couple years, the tax preparer that I've been working with, I feel like they are a little bit antiquated in reference to how I run my business. So since my business is mainly on social media, I want to know what are the expenses that I can legally write off with a social media based business. So
that
like
is a great question.
I have videography, I have photography, and in order to do that, I got makeup,
you got wardrobe.
Hair, wardrobe, exactly. Nails, can all of that stuff legally be written off for my business where it's at today?
Yes. Okay, so let's talk about photographers, videographers.
Yeah.
All of those things, yes. When it comes to your nails. And because it's social media, and let me say this, the IRS has not caught up to where we are. So what I'm going to say is, if you purchase something specifically for that shoot and you're never going to use it again, yes.
Okay.
Because it was specifically for business purposes. However, if you purchase, you know, let's use a wig, right? You got a wig. But you're going to...
I can't identify with this one.
You can't identify with this one.
No.
Let's say you get a wig, right? But you get it for that shoot, but then you're going to wear it after that, then you can't. Because technically, you're going to use it.
So what are you supposed to do with the wig?
You wear it.
But if you discard it.
If you discard it. Let's say it was a crazy crazy wig, right? Like, it was something that you only could wear for a photo shoot. Then, yes, you can write it off, right? So you have to think about it like that.
So your I can't write off my Yeezys?
You are wearing that specifically for here. I've never seen you wear those any other place.
That is a fact. Okay, carry on.
You see why representation is so important.
That is a fact. I like that.
So yeah, you can write it off. And what I will say, and you mentioned something when you first started, just saying that you have a tax preparer that doesn't really understand your business. They don't need to be a tax preparer. Mm. Right? Because you have, again, like I mentioned earlier, you have to get people that understand your business and where you are. Because I have some clients who are like, my last preparer, like, they wouldn't let me write off anything. Like, I wanted to write off my travel, and I'm like, but did you go there for business? Yeah, but they said they didn't want me to get audited. Well, do you got the receipts? Did you do it in your business bank account? Yeah, well, then write it off. Yeah. Right? So it's just a matter of you have to make sure that you're doing what you need to do, because in those instances, you wouldn't be afraid of an audit, because what you're asking me for, I can provide you. Right? But you have to have things like bookkeeping, like Kiana mentioned. You have to have your bookkeeping in order. You have to have a good CPA, someone that you can have to make sure that they're doing what they need to do, you're doing what you need to do, so that if those things arise, you're not like, oh my God, this, oh my God, what's happening? So
okay.
You should fire him.
That was going to kind of segue to my next question of like, what are the questions or what do you look for when finding a tax preparer that is going to be in alignment with your business? Because this tax preparer, they're actually with a bigger company that I found on Instagram that I thought was going to kind of understand my business, and then come to find out they have a bunch of people that they work with that are not up to speed. So what would be some of like the questions that you would ask the tax preparer, or just the conversation that you may have, and then the answers that you're looking for to find out, okay, this isn't going to be a good fit?
Okay, great, so I'm going to answer the question, then I'm going to kind of take you through my business process and what we do with our clients.
Right, because Ariana and I were like, okay, is she accepting new clients? Because she sounds like she already knows exactly what we need. So.
Right? So pretty much what you first need to understand is, one, do they do business taxes? Do they understand your industry? What is their approach to risk? Those things are important. So just how I mentioned just now, someone was like, yeah, they wouldn't let me write off travel, or they wouldn't let me write off my photographer or my videographer. It's like, but I'm paying this person. They are a contractor, right? So you first need to make sure that they understand your business. Mm-hmm. You have to understand how far are they going? I don't want to say like how, not how far they'll let you go, but like what they'll do to educate you on what you need to do to make sure that you are in compliance, right? Because that's super important. You need to make sure that you have someone that's going to educate you. Those are important, because some people don't know how to educate because they don't understand. So if they can't speak to you about it, that means that they don't understand it. And a lot of people will be like, oh my God. So I'm going to kind of take you guys through my process. And once people go through the process, they're like, well, yeah, my tax preparer usually just say to me, yeah, come pick up my taxes, this is done. And, just kind of go about our business. At my firm, Brooks Alliance, we pretty much...
Say that again.
Say it one more time.
My tax firm, Brooks Alliance. So my tax firm, Brooks Alliance, like every client has their own portal. Pretty much, that's where all the questions are answered. Documents are uploaded. When you get to a stopping point and you've given us everything, we do a screen share with clients. I mentioned I work with clients in all 50 states. So I have a lot of clients throughout the U.S., and we do a screen share. We pull your taxes up. We walk through your taxes line by line, explaining to you, one, what's happening. Why are you paying taxes if you owe? If you're getting a refund, why are you getting a refund? Right? Because everyone thinks that a refund is good. Every time you're getting a refund, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. You just gave the IRS a loan for the whole year that you didn't necessarily need to give them. Right? So we walk you through that. And if there's areas of opportunities that we see that you can change, we talk to you about that at that moment, right? And so things like that is very, very important, because you need to understand that, kind of circle back to what Kiana was saying in the beginning. You have to understand what's happening. And I want my clients to understand. So I think, a lot of accountants, and I can't really speak for why they do it, but I feel like they may operate in a scarcity mindset, like, I don't want them to know this, or they're going to go and do it by themselves. No, I want you to know. I want your business to grow, because guess what? You're going to need me, because you're not going to have time to do this.
No, you're not.
So that's where, that's my mindset. So when I'm, you know, working with clients, I'm giving you everything. I want you to know, right? And another thing, last but not least, they have to do tax planning. If they're not talking to you about tax planning or for it to be, especially with you being a real estate, you're a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. With you being a real estate
agent. No, sorry. Broker. She's an associate broker.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry. Okay. Especially with you being an associate broker, that's extremely important because you're getting 1099s and 1099s are hit the hardest.
Yes.
Right? So that's important. Tax plan is important. So that would be my advice.
Great. I love that.
So you can legally finesse. So we'll have a conversation.
Legally finesse.
Legally prove what you're using all of these items for to write them off.
I like how you be cleaning this all up.
I really appreciate you coming on this panel and talking to us about it. I think that everybody wants to be a millionaire. Nobody wants to pay taxes.
No way.
And when you're moving into from W-2 to 1099 to flipping houses, you definitely want to understand how these tax laws are going to affect you.
Absolutely.
None of us want to, you know, shout out to Wesley Snipes, but we don't want that.
For us or any of our viewers.
So tell people.
Let's get one more question, okay, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah, we got another question coming.
This business is going to be here, so everybody else, we can just talk to her after. You know, guys, if you were watching this on YouTube, you should have been here, but whatever. But this is the privilege, right? So this is the last question, then we're going to wrap this up.
Cool. My question was kind of similar to his question about the art. I do collectibles. Like, I buy collectibles. Is there a way that I can use that in a tax, like, to receive a tax break, maybe if I'm purchasing it?
What kind of collectibles?
Like trading cards. Like, okay. And, you know,
so it's huge right now.
Yeah. So huge. It's like, yeah, exactly. So I got like a huge collection, 20, 30 years old, and up and down in value. Is there depreciation? Is there ways, like, and is there certain documents maybe I need to get when I purchase it to be able to save on that as well? I'm just asking because I was thinking about the art.
So it depends on where you purchase it. If you've been purchasing it under your name and it's not a business, then no, you can't. Right. But if that's your business that you're going to, like, that you've created, then yes, you can do it. Right. But if you're just like holding on to them and you're like, okay, I'm going to hold them personally and you're going to personally sell them, then no.
But what if you were just thinking out loud? Mm-hmm. What if you were to take a bill of sale from his name, sell the cards to his business name, and now operate the cards
Rants
under
and gems,
the business
baby.
Name?
What's up, Miss Business? Talk to us. We need to know.
Right?
What can we do?
Some stuff I can't be talking about. But yes.
Hypothetically speaking,
if you then created a business and then there was a transaction, when it got over to that business side, now that the value is on that business side and that's what you're doing as a business, then yes, you would be able to then recognize that as an asset.
Love it.
It's the gym.
It is. That was a gym. Everybody on YouTube, put a gym in the comments. For that. So look, I got one more last question for you.
Yes.
When did you fall in love with real estate?
Oh, real estate. Okay. So I'm going to give you guys my whole path on even how I got here. So one, I've always loved real estate. Ever since I was in junior high school, I used to drive. Do you know in Brooklyn, like in the back of Brooklyn where they're like those really, really big houses? Mm-hmm. I used to always make my parents drive me back there.
Okay.
Right. I love houses, always love luxury houses. When I was 18, graduated high school, I went to college. But while I was in college, I was like, I want to do real estate. So I went and took my real estate sales exam.
Okay.
Yes, Kim, yeah.
Okay.
I went and took my real estate sales exam and I practiced real estate for about a year and a half, 2 years, but then the market crashed and I was young and I was like, everybody in my office was stressing out. It was just very toxic in there. It was a New York summer.
It was toxic and hot.
It was toxic and hot. It was a New York summer. I was like, I'm going back to school. So I stopped doing real estate sales. I went back to school, graduated my accounting degree. I went and worked one of the top accounting firms. I started there working in mutual funds, which is, for those of you that don't know, it's the investment vehicle for 401ks. I thought it was like so boring. I was like 2.5 years in and I'm like, I have to get out of here and I have to transfer to real estate. Because I also was working on a private equity client and I was like, oh my God, this would be amazing if I could work on a real estate private equity client. And so I kept talking to all my supervisors and they finally switched me over to the real estate department. And I stayed there for about 4.5 years. And so I worked on real estate private equity funds. I worked on REITs while I was there. And so, yeah. So
That's when you fell in love with real estate.
And I love real estate.
I love it. Well, we love you too.
We love you back. Now you know. Now you know you can't come on the Rants and Gems show without giving us a rant and a gem about your industry.
We need it.
Let's go. So give us the rant and gem about the tax industry.
90 seconds.
All
rant
right.
and gem.
All right.
Let's
rant.
Go.
Please stop asking me to help you save on taxes when your accounting is not in order. You need bookkeeping.
Let them have it. Let's go. Rant at them.
All right. So that's it. You don't have to be sweet.
Now, wait a minute. So a bookkeeper is not an accountant? They're not the same?
It depends.
I'm right? asking
so
for
a
y'all.
Bookkeeper is
I know.
The same, right? So some bookkeepers may not do taxes. Like at my firm, we have bookkeeping and we have taxes. But some people, their bookkeeper are doing their taxes and they don't know nothing about taxes. You have to make sure that whoever's doing it, that they know about both. Okay, so that's important. Okay,
that was a rant and a gem.
That was a rant and a gem.
Yeah.
All right, but I got to think of a gem. I don't know if that was, I don't know about this gem. Let's talk about vacation. Me and Kiana, we like lifestyle.
Okay,
yeah, let's
okay.
talk about it.
This is fitting. We can tell by
it.
Fits.
Let's talk about it.
We see the lifestyle.
Talk about
so
it.
Okay.
This ain't my type of conversation, but you know, I ain't a lifestyle guy.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Those are Yeezys. Yeah. We know.
Matt eats and lives better than anybody I know. So
I do eat good.
Listen.
I'm fat for a reason.
Matt, like, oh, I'm not eating that. Where's the Wagyu? Where's the steak?
Yes.
Where's the 5-star dining?
Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so let's talk about, I want to talk about travel and we'll talk about meals too.
Okay.
Because that's good
on my
one
alley.
For 20. Yes, yeah, so I got to give you something.
Yeah.
All right, so travel. So how to turn your travel, your vacation into a business trip so that you can write it off.
Oh.
Okay. One thing, you only have to work 4 hours out the day, right? We all have laptops. We all have emails that we need to answer, right? So with doing that, let's just say hypothetically, you are going to, you came to Atlanta, right? I won't use me because I'm kind of here to do, really doing, I'm not really, but I'm here doing business. But let's just say you're coming to Atlanta. You're me, you're from New York. And you knew that there was an event, there was this event, and you had to sign up. You received some sort of email confirmation that you were going to be here. That is your reason for being here. Mm. You make sure that you keep, you hold on to that. Your flight is then deductible. Your hotel is also deductible. Your meals while you are here are deductible. Your car while you are here are deductible. It's all deductible, right? But you just have to make sure that you are working. If you do decide to stay throughout the weekend, your hotel is still deductible on the weekend because, you know, you were here throughout the week and you wrote off your, and then you had your business interactions. Okay. So
like
that's
that.
Important.
So 4 hours a day, that's all.
So if I want to go to Dubai
and do content, you could do content. You could take pictures. We all do content. We all got pictures.
Okay.
You take pictures now.
Oh,
that's because I'm rolling with Kiana Watson.
Oh,
and she got the whole glam squad and the paparazzi.
He takes pictures now.
So
I said, we're not
I'm taking
doing
pictures.
That.
Yeah, so now if you go to Dubai and now you're doing content out there and, you know, you have a photographer out there, a videographer,
mm-hmm.
all of those things, that now makes it a business trip.
Love it.
Okay. Well, typically it's like a Monday through Friday type of thing where they say if you're there Monday through Friday, then, you know, you're there doing business. But let's say if it's Tuesday through Friday, it's not, you know, a big deal. But as long as you are there, you know, a certain amount of days doing work. And if let's just say you're doing work on the weekend, then that would also be considered a business trip.
I love it.
Okay?
I love it.
I love it.
So then we'll talk about meals.
Yeah, let's talk about meals.
Because
I'm going to eat after this.
Yeah, I already know that. I told somebody, I said, I don't know what I'm doing later because Matt, you know, Matt likes to go eat. So we're going to have probably go to dinner or something.
That's a fact.
Matt love a good restaurant.
More bottles, please. More bottles.
Yeah. So for 2021 and 2022, meals are 100% deductible. Typically, meals were 50% deductible. Now they're 100% deductible. I have a lot of my clients who are my friends.
Yes.
So we go out and we eat. How to properly keep track of those things. One, you need to make sure it's happening on your business card, not your personal card, your business card. Mm-hmm. You then need to make sure that you're keeping your receipt. I take pictures of my receipts because at first I would throw the receipts in the bag. They crumble, they fade, I lose them. So I take pictures of them. And then I also write, you know, meeting with Matt. We discuss my rants and gems.
Yes. Appearance.
Yeah.
See?
You see?
So I can write off that dinner last night.
Absolutely.
That's a gem.
Oh, that's a fact. Let's go. That was an expensive dinner, too.
You wanted more
bottles. More bottles. Let's go.
I love it.
Right? So those things are just very important. If, you know, you guys get nothing out of this, make sure that you keep your document trail. That's important. Document trail is important when it relates to taxes. You need, you know, invoices, you need your receipts. If, you know, you're purchasing something, you need to make sure that these things are showing up in your business bank account. You need to make sure that, you know, you are not, if it does show up in your personal account, because I have people, especially when you're first starting, right? And I'm very realistic. When you're first starting out, you may not even have a business bank account because you didn't really start your business yet, but you need to make sure that once you open up that business bank account, you are transferring money from your business, I mean, from your personal to your business account, okay, to make those transactions happen.
Man, lots of gems today.
That's a gem.
Lots of gems.
You gave us a couple of gems.
Well,
thank you so much, Ms. Business.
Let's end this by telling the people if they want to hire you.
Yes.
Right? How can they find you?
Yes. So you guys can find me on all Instagram, Facebook, Miss Business 101. So you can DM me, you can email me. I answer DMs.
So why you look at me for?
No, we both looked at Matt.
Why you look at me for?
I answer DMs. You can email me. My website is missbusiness101.com. You can shoot me an email, and we'll respond to you if, you know, you want to call the office. Telephone number is 347-374-3956. I have an entire team. I am not a one-man show. I have
love it.
A full team ready to help you.
Miss Business with the Business.
All right.
He's my client.
Listen, we are, okay.
Miss Business with the Business.
Miss Business came with the business.
Yeah. I mean, look, this was a phenomenal episode. Now, I said Miss Business always has the first, right? So real quick, she was the first guest on EYL.
Yes.
Right, ever. And now you're the first guest on a Rants and Gems show.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to always be the first?
How does it feel?
It feels like a blessing. And how does it feel to know you're about to just... You're about to blow up.
That,
I'm good juju.
You are good juju. Don't leave me hanging. You are good juju. Listen, from your mouth to God's ears.
We'll take it.
I'm out of here, man. Look, this has been a great episode. Thank you for your time. I appreciate
you
coming here, dropping gems. Look, guys, like, comment, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Audio.
Take notes.
Rewind this because she gave a lot of information. And over an hour and some change here today. So thank you again. We appreciate you. My name is Matt Garland, and MLS number 58700.
My name is Kiana MG Watson.
I gotta do the whole thing, girl. Let me get the whole MG the Mortgage guy.
To
I know, but I need to say the MG the Mortgage guy.
Get it again.
This is Matt Garland.
Start again.
All right, this is Matt Garland, NMLS number 58700, better known as MG the Mortgage guy.
And I am Kiana Watson, license number 317576, better known as Kiana Watson.
Let's go. Rants and Gems.
I don't even know my license number. Y'all making me want to know it now.
Hey, you better find that shit for the cars. Please hit you up. All right, y'all. We out. That was episode four?
Episode four.
We out.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from.
Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.